ॐ शान्ति ॐ शान्ति ॐ शान्ति
ॐ शान्ति।
I have been given a very interesting topic to speak on, becoming an angel. Baba has given us a very, very high aim. When Baba says that you have to become deities from human beings, it's definitely a very high aim. The people of Kaliyuga are filled with all vices, and Baba wants us who are filled with vices to become pure and become like deities. So our aim and objective is very high. People ask us when they come here or they come to our exhibitions, programs, they ask us, what is the aim of your Brahma Kumaris? What do you do? What are you aiming for? And what do we say? We say that we are making efforts from changing to humans, from humans to deities. We are making the effort of changing from humans to deities. But it is not an overnight job to change from a human being to a deity. It is definitely a long effort. First of all, from human beings, we have to become angels. Then from angels, we have to become points of light. Then from points of light, souls, we have to become deities. So it's not straight away from humans to deities. So our first aim and objective is to become an angel. Brahma Baba became an angel. But how did Brahma Baba become an angel? What efforts did he make which helped him to become an angel? So what are the efforts between human being to angel? And then what are the efforts for being points of light? And then what are the efforts for being deities? Becoming deities. How can one know that one is approaching the stage of an angel? Baba said in today's mudra that first you have to become karmadeet. Karmadeet means beyond the bondage of actions. Doing and still being detached. Karmatit, beyond the pull or bondage of actions. In spite of performing actions, that bondage is not felt. The thought of I am doing it is not felt. I'm only an instrument.
But in order to become karmatit, we have to go through different stages. The first stage is becoming soul conscious. Without becoming soul conscious, we cannot become karmatit. Because karmatit means performing actions and still being beyond the pull of those actions. So in order to be, to not be in that pool of actions, we have to become soul conscious whilst performing actions. And for that Baba said, I am seeing everything and yet not seeing. Seeing everything while seeing. Not seeing anything while seeing. Not hearing anything while hearing. Even if I am hearing, but still I am not hearing. I am seeing everything, but still I am not seeing. That is, I become soul conscious. Soul conscious means all my limbs, the whole physical body is under my control. I am a soul. This consciousness enables me to go beyond the pull of the senses. And when I go beyond the pull of my senses, then that also helps me to go beyond the pull of my thoughts. Means I'm also going beyond the pull of thoughts. The thoughts are under my control. What to think, I know it. So what to think and what not to think is under my control. If I don't want to think, I can just put a full stop. That's it. And I stop thinking, like applying a brake. So Baba has taught us how to apply a brake by applying three thoughts. I am a point of light. Baba is a point of light. I am zero, Baba is zero, so become a zero. Remember the zero and apply a dot, drama. So soul, God and drama. These are the three dots we apply. And the moment I say I am a soul, I am the child of that Supreme Father, I am only an actor on this world drama stage, I go beyond the pull of the senses and the wasteful thoughts of this world. So we can say we become soul conscious, and when we become soul conscious, we see everything and yet don't see anything. What Baba calls it as the Videh stage, the stage of going beyond, even whilst living in this world. And Baba gives the example of King Janak. How King Janak lived in a beautiful palace, but he had no attachment to his palace. A sannyasi went to him and said, how are you called the Videhi king, the one who has no attachment? Everyone has attachment to his belongings, to his relatives, to all the luxuries. How can you say that you don't have any attachment? A sannyasi asked him, because that's what a sannyasi prepares for. He is like a renunciate. He goes beyond the attachment of worldly things. But while living in the world, how to be detached? So that sannyasi asked him, and King Janak gave him a lamp, and he told him, go and see my beautiful palace, but keep in mind that this lamp, the light of this lamp, should not extinguish. It should be kept lit all the time, this lamp. So he took the lamp and he went round the palace. But then there was wind coming, so he had to, you know, protect that the light, the lamp. So whilst protecting, how could he see anything? So all the while he was protecting the lamp, protecting the light of the lamp. And he just saw and didn't see. He saw, but then he didn't see anything. So when he returned to the king asked him, "Did you see my palace?" He said, "Yes, I did, but I'm sorry, I really didn't see well because I was paying attention to the lamp." He said, "This is my yukti too. This is how I live in this world, I live in this palace. There are so many attractions, but still I'm not attached to anything." And that is called Videh, Raja Janak. Dadi Janki used to say, "I'm Videh Janak." Baba used to call her that, who did everything and yet in a second she could go beyond, as if she had done nothing. I remember once, if you all know about it, that she, Brahma Kumaris were invited to the United Nations, and Dadi Janki, being the head of the institution, she was told to give a speech in the United Nations. Well, the speech was prepared and she had to speak in English. It was, you can understand, United Nations Assembly. And she spoke for 3 minutes only. And then how everyone applauded, she spoke with so much force in English. And before, when she was taking leave for going to London in 1974, Baba told her that you have to go to London to serve in 74. She said, "Baba, how will I serve? I don't know English." But Baba said, "Doesn't matter, you will get an interpreter everywhere." And how Jenti Ben was prepared for that, and she used to travel with Dadi everywhere. And she would translate for Dadi. But this was the United Nations and there was, she couldn't speak in Hindi, she had to speak in English. So although the speech was written for her and she spoke in English, and then with that, so much determination, she spoke so well. No one could ever imagine that she doesn't know English. But she, of course, understood everything and spoke from the heart. And then after that, when she came back to India, we all, felicitated Dadi. And then when she came to Madhuban, in Madhuban, I just asked her a question. I asked her, "Dadi, what was your experience, when you spoke in the United Nations?" And she said, "What experience? I have forgotten it. I have forgotten it. I don't even remember." So just imagine, such a great program it was, and she forgot about it. She said, "What is there to say anything? There's nothing to say about it. I just spoke as I was meant to speak. That's it. What experience?" So she was so detached. What we would do is we would tell the whole world, wherever we go, "Oh, I spoke at the United Nations, I spoke at the United Nations." We would make such a big news about it, but Dadi was so detached. Very often we used to ask Dadi, "Dadi, please share your experience." She said, "I don't share any experience. When it's finished, it's over. Let Jenti do that, that's not my job." Because Jenti Ben used to be with Dadi all the time. So Jenti Ben would share, but then Dadi would not say anything, not elaborate on any of her experiences. She would say, "Now what to do next? What is next? 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 Just speak about that, that's all." So this was Dadi Janki, how she was reaching her Karmatit stage. And therefore, first soul consciousness, then Videh stage, a stage where you are performing actions and yet not being affected by those actions, not thinking of any praise or You know, not even having the thought whether I did it well or not, whether it was good or not. Usually we do that also. I go and give a speech and then I ask everybody, was my speech okay? Was my lecture okay? Did I speak well? You know, I sometimes say it very jokingly, you know, whenever we go for lunch or dinner or anywhere. And usually those who serve, they ask a question, is this cooked well? Do you like it? Is it tasty? Now it means that that one must have cooked it. The one who's asking the question, because the ones who are serving, they have not cooked that meal or maybe that dish. But then the one who has cooked that dish and that one is serving, she will definitely ask, is it well cooked? Is it tasty? And I'll say, oh, it's very tasty. Did you make it? She said, yes. Yes, I made it. And once there was a joke on it, a very interesting joke. The joke was that the wife used to cook so well for her husband. And every day she would, you know, serve food to her husband with so much love. But the husband never praised her, you know, that you have cooked so well, it's a very tasty dish and all that. He never praised her. So one day a thought came in her mind, let me tell my husband that I cook so well, I take so much time to cook and new recipes and new dishes I prepared for you, but never have you ever praised me. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't praise you, but you cook very well. And then the next day, when she was serving him, even before eating, he said, well, you have cooked very well. Your dishes are very, very, very tasty. And she looked at him, he has not even tasted it. And he's saying that it is very tasty. And then she became upset. And then he asked her, why are you upset? I'm praising the food you have served. Then she said, well, you know, today the neighbor has brought the food. The neighbor has brought the food, so you have praised by the neighbor, you did not praise me. Now what did he know that it is a neighbor who has cooked that dish or cooked the food? He didn't know, but the thought was, I have to praise my wife. So it was not her praise, it was the praise of the neighbor, because that neighbor had cooked and sent for them. Anyway, so we look for praise. We want to know how we have done it. But then when one is in that viday stage, well, he will never ask. He will do everything in a soul conscious way, and when it's over, Om Shanti. Not even think about it later on. So this is called viday stage. And then the third thing after that will be ashariri, completely bodiless. I sit and in a second I just go beyond and I'm totally detached from everything. So that bodiless stage, the more and more I practice, will help me to attain my angelic stage. Because until I am in my bodiless stage, I cannot attain my angelic stage. Because an angelic stage means no pull of the body at all. And no pull of the body means bodiless stage. Even though I'm in the body, but still I don't have the pull of the body at all. Totally light and detached. In soul conscious stage, I'm performing actions. I'm performing actions in that soul conscious stage. I know I'm a soul. I'm looking through my eyes. I'm hearing through my ears. I'm speaking through my mouth. I'm working through my hands and legs and all. I know it. And then, even if I am doing anything, I'm not attached to what I'm doing. And then when I experience that, then I can attain my viday stage. And when I'm in that viday stage, seeing everything and still not seeing, then I can attain my bodiless stage. And once I am in my, I can experience bodiless stage, then definitely I will become an angel. I will attain that stage of an angel. So, what is an angel? An angel is the one who has the body of light. Of course, this body is not body of light. It is body of bones and flesh. It is the body made up of five elements. But then the body of an angel is not a body of bones and flesh. It is just light. And that is what Brahma Baba attained after he left the body. Actually, whilst Brahma Baba was in his body, we could feel how he is attaining his angelic stage. We used to feel that light, light in both ways, light in form and light in weight. Both are called light. And it was Dadi Gulzar who was the first soul who saw that angelic form of Brahma Baba. She was very young, hardly maybe 12, 13 years old in the Yajna in Karachi, because she came to Baba when she was only 9. And then this must be after a few years. Baba had kept program for of Bhatti, in which about 8 sisters were told to be in complete silence for a week. And then the food they were served was very light food, completely sattvic. And for 8 days they remained in silence with just little sattvic food. And Gulzar Dadi was one of the sisters in that group. She must be 13, 14 years maybe. And she was actually a trans messenger already. The very first day she came to Baba when she was 9 years old with her mother, she saw Brahma Baba and went into trance. She was a very innocent girl, very innocent, just 9 years old. And she went into trance and saw Sri Krishna. But when she came back, everyone asked her, "What did you see? What did you see?" You know, they were curious. So she couldn't explain what she saw, but she did see Sri Krishna. So someone brought a picture of Sri Krishna in front of her and said, "Did you see this one?" She said, "No." But she did see Sri Krishna, but she said, "No." Why she said no? Because the Sri Krishna which she experienced in her trance stage was so beautiful, compared to that what she saw, what the picture which was shown to her was nothing. You can imagine how beautiful must Sri Krishna have been. So that picture was really nothing compared to what she saw. So how could she say that she saw this one? She could not even describe it because she was so innocent, you know, from the world. She didn't have any knowledge of what the world was. She had never seen any picture of such sort. Anyway, but then during that 1 week of silence and then in total solitude and all, she got this vision of angelic Brahma Baba. She saw Brahma Baba, but in the form of light, silvery light. She saw subtle regions. Baba says, Baba has been saying that when Shiva Baba comes from Paramdham, he first creates subtle regions. And then he comes in the body of Brahma Baba. So first subtle regions is created. In golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age, when souls come down, they don't come through subtle regions. But this subtle regions is only meant for Sangam Yuga, for confluence age, for your visions. And the visions which devotees get is all in the drama, that's all. That they get visions of their gods and goddesses. So how Baba creates subtle regions? And what is subtle regions? It's a region of just light. And there are angelic bodies of light. So Brahma, Vishnu, Shankar in their light bodies, and they are meant only for giving visions. So Brahma Baba got the vision of Vishnu. Vishnu was the first vision which Brahma Baba got of. And he saw Vishnu in that four-armed form, and with the conch and the Swadarshan wheel and the mace and lotus. And that form told him, Brahma Baba, that you are the same as me. And Baba was surprised, how can I be like him? I'm not Vishnu. Vishnu is my God, because at that time he used to worship Vishnu. But this was a blessing he got from Vishnu. So the first vision Brahma Baba got of was of Vishnu. And then when Gulzar Dadi got this vision of angelic Brahma during his stay in Karachi, she was afraid. She got afraid because all a body of light, that's what she saw. And a very shining light, you know, if you put like hundreds of moons together, that light, you know, when you have a full moon night, how is the light of the sky and the light of your surroundings? So if the hundreds and thousands of moons put together, it is silvery light. That's what she saw. And she saw angelic Brahma in that light. And light form body in a world of light. But she got afraid. And she came down immediately. And came and told Baba, Baba, I saw your form, but it was in a form of light. And Baba was curious too, what did you see? You saw this form in a form of light. How was it? She said, Baba, I got so afraid. You know, a small child will be afraid of that just light form and a body appearing in the form of light like. And Baba said, didn't you ask him who he was? She said, no, Baba, I was so afraid. So Baba said, now sit again and go once again. And when you meet that form, ask him, who are you? Who are you? So she got permission from Baba to ask a question. So when she went into trance once again, and there she saw the angelic Brahma, she asked him, who are you? And he replied, I am the perfect form of Brahma in the physical world. This Brahma in the physical world will become this. You know, like Baba, that avyakt form, angelic form pointed towards himself. So go and tell this to Brahma, that you have your perfect form in the angelic world, and after you attain perfection, you will become an angel. So when she went and gave this message to Baba in the physical world, and Baba was curious, oh, I have a perfect form in the subtle regions. Now I want to attain that. I want to attain that. That's what he said. And then Baba used to practice becoming bodiless, 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 detached, detached. And, you know, seeing and not seeing. Then Baba told Gulzar Dadi, go and see again. Because she saw two forms. How that physical form then merged in that angelic form and became just one. But before that, there was a gap. And then Baba used to tell Dadi, go again and see how close has that physical form come to the angelic form, how close it has come. So she used to go again and see Baba. Yes, it is getting closer, 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 closer. And when Baba became avyakt on 18th of January 1969, she went again into trance and she saw how that both forms became just one. The physical merged in the angelic. So this is what the angelic form is. And Baba says, all of you have your angelic form in the subtle regions. When these trance messengers go into trance, they see the whole gathering in front of her. Whole gathering there. So what is the meaning of that? Even we have our angelic forms, our future forms. But then that will be attained only after we really have become karmatit and attained perfection. Sometimes Baba uses two words for perfection. One is complete and the other is full. Full and complete, that is perfection. In Hindi the words are sampan and sampurna. Sampanna means full and sampurna means complete. So full and complete, that is perfection. And then Baba gives the example of a full moon. The full moon is perfect and complete. It is complete, it is full, it is perfect. So full means full light, full light. Usually other days the light is not full of the moon. There's a crescent, you know, so it's not very, very, very bright light. But on full moon night, it is full moon. That full moon gives light to the whole sky. So that is called full. The light is full. And then it is complete. Complete means complete circle. Complete round. Other days is not complete round. So complete round means complete in purity. All the 16 degrees of perfection. Because the moon takes 16 degrees to become full again. It takes 16 degrees from full to no light. You know, 15 days in between. So full moon, and then gradually, gradually decreases again, 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 and then there is no moon. And then again from that day onwards, the moon comes. And then again after 15 days, it becomes full moon. So after 1 month, you have a full moon. So that is when India, the currency was actually, you know, annas and rupees. 16 annas made 1 rupee. Now we have 100 paisa making 1 rupee, or 100 penny making 1 pound, so it is 100%, but before it used to be measured in 16 annas, so 16 means complete. And therefore Baba says you have to become complete, perfect and full, that is what an angel is. So it is the fullness is in all virtues and completion is in total purity, perfection. So what is an angel? An angel means the one who is full of virtues and complete in purity, 100%, 16 celestial degrees pure, all virtuous. So all virtuous means full, and 16 celestial degrees completion means complete, and that is called perfection. So what is an angel? The one who's perfect in all virtues and the degrees of purity. So ultimately we have to become that. And that is our aim and objective of this confluence age, because we have to become that at the end of confluence age. But before that we have to become karmatit. And then Baba says you go back to the soul world. and you become a point of light again. So point of light again means after attaining perfection, completion, fullness, I go back to my original stage. The stage where I'm experiencing all my innate qualities. So the innate qualities, the seven main qualities of every soul, which are the innate qualities. First is knowledge, perfect in knowledge. So knowledge, purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss and power. Knowledge, purity, peace, happiness, bliss, power. You know, and of course, the truth, that is a main quality of the soul. Every soul is true. Truth means, again, a definition of truth. Truth is that which is eternal. Truth is that which is never changing. Truth is that which was never created and never gets destroyed. That is called truth. Truth is that which is the highest. If one is speaking the truth, he doesn't have to change his statements. Because truth is truth. But if one is speaking lies, then he keeps on changing his statements. Because it's not the truth. You know? So what is the truth which is never changing? Truth is the soul. Truth is soul because the soul is never created, never gets destroyed. Truth is the supreme soul. Even that supreme soul is never created, nor does it get destroyed. They are both eternal soul and supreme soul. And even matter is truth. Matter can also not be created or destroyed. But the difference between matter and supreme soul is that matter changes its form from one to the other. You know, you have physical energies, light energy into heat energy into sound energy and so on. So these different energies change, but total sum will remain the same. So we say even matter is eternal, but the changes happen, but total sum will be the same. Nothing is lost. And the difference between soul and supreme soul is that the soul comes through various cycles. The cycle of birth and death, the cycle of karma and fruit of karma, the cycle of pain and pleasure, the cycle of happiness and sorrow, the cycle of victory and defeat. The cycle of good actions and bad actions. So the soul goes through those cycles. But the supreme soul does not go through those cycles. And therefore, that supreme being is perfect all the time. It does not enter the cycle. Cycle means there's a change. There's a change. But then you go back to the origin. So in the cycle. Therefore, how do you define a cycle? A cycle is that which has no beginning, no end. But there is a transition. And then how there is a complete transformation back to the origin. So that's the cycle of the soul. But the supreme soul does not go through that cycle. And that makes a difference between soul and supreme soul. Because if the supreme soul is not there, then who will bring the soul back to its original nature? So the supreme soul is always in reserve. His work is only at the end, when he has to come into this world to transform the world, to make the souls pure again, to make them go back to their original nature, original stage. So we have the innate qualities, and then when these innate qualities are realized in the self, in the soul, we attain that stage of a complete point of light. And then we become deities. because then we come down as deities in the physical world. And as deities, we have these acquired qualities. The deities have acquired qualities from those innate qualities. You know, just like we have seven colors. We don't have eighth color, ninth color, only seven colors. We used to learn in school, Vibhyor, you know, the colors of a rainbow. Violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, we used to say. So violet, indigo, Vibhyor, violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, seven colors. And all other colors, crimson color, you know, any other color, it's a combination of one of these seven colors. Like you have seven musics, you know. We say sa re ga ma pa da ni sa ni. There are seven rhythms of music. Sa re ga ma pa da ni. And all other, the music of the whole world is based on these seven rhythms. Similarly, we have 7 days. You know, seven is of great importance. There's no eighth day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Again, you go back to Sunday. So you go back to the origin. Starts from Sunday, ends in Saturday, and then you go back to Sunday. There's no eighth day. And that's why it is said, life is only of 7 days. Life is only of 7 days. You are born on one of the 7 days and you die on one of the 7 days. There's no eighth day. So, everything goes through a cycle. But God is beyond the cycle. But matter is eternal. Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So that's the truth. But the rest, that transition, that is all untruth. Because that transition is not lasting forever. It will change, change, change. It will, and then go back to the origin. So this is what Baba says, that you children are the truth, satya, satyam, shivam, sundaram. God is the truth. So when this is understood, we realize that now we have to become deities again. So who are the deities who have acquired all other qualities from these innate qualities? Like tolerance, patience, humility, we speak of 36 virtues. All these are divine virtues. So what are the divine virtues? There's a big list of them in every book. There's a list of these divine virtues outside history hall in Pandav Bhavan. And every day we can just go through that and find out which virtue am I still lacking. Do I have tolerance? Do I have patience? Do I have humility? Do I have easiness? Like today's angelic signal was, how truth, what does it mean? In truth there is purity, in truth there is right behavior, in truth there is easiness, you know. So you have to keep a balance of these virtues. And they are called the divine virtues. And you become a deity. So that's our aim and objective. So it's very easy to say from humans to deities, but in between, there is so much. So what we were and what we are becoming. And then sometimes Baba says, you don't have to compare yourself with anyone else. Never, never compare yourself with anyone else. I am better than him or I am worse than him. No, never. If I want to compare, I have to compare with myself only. What I was yesterday, what I am today, and what I am going to become tomorrow. Yesterday somebody said something, I didn't like it, I got angry with that person. This shows I have no tolerance. But today that person said something, but I didn't react. But still I was a little irritated. So I've improved from yesterday. Yesterday I got angry with him. But today I just got irritated. I didn't say anything, but just showed my irritation. And tomorrow he tells me again something, but I am very, very peaceful, very quiet. I don't even get irritated. This is the difference. So I have to compare with myself, my own chart I have to keep. I don't have to compare myself with anybody else. See, this person is getting so irritated. Well, tomorrow he will change. But I have taken that impression of him that this person is always irritated. But tomorrow he may change. So why should I say that he's always irritated? He has changed. So instead of looking at him, I look at myself. How much have I changed? I'm becoming a deity. I'm becoming an angel. I'm becoming perfect. I am attaining my stage of completion. So what am I at the present? And what have I to achieve? And never look back, Baba says. Never look back. So don't compare yourself with anyone, because each one is unique. Each one has his own ways. But yes, you can compare with yourself as what I was yesterday and what I am today and what I have to be tomorrow. But besides that, Baba also says, don't look too back. Don't go to your two past. You know, there are many who go into their big past. They say, oh, before I used to get so angry, so angry, so angry. But now I don't get angry at all. I'm very good. I don't get angry at all. But don't be happy with that only. Oh, I don't get angry at all nowadays. Before I used to be very, very angry. But now I don't get angry. Don't be happy with it and say, oh, I'm now happy that I don't get angry. Why? Because my aim is very high. I don't get angry. That's not my aim. But how peaceful I am, that is my aim. I have to attain my original peaceful stage. I don't get angry, so I'm very happy with myself. I'm satisfied with myself. You know, we compared this to a student who always fails. And once he passed and got just passing marks, he was so happy. Oh, I've passed. But another student who used to get 99%, 100%, and he got just 90, but he was not happy. Why? He said, where did my 10 marks go? Because he was comparing his marks to 100. And the one who just passed, he is comparing his marks to 0. So what do I have to compare my marks with, 0 or to with 100? What do I have to do? 0 or 100? Oh, I've got 50%, I've passed. Is that my effort, or do I have to compare my marks to 100? I have to get 100 out of 100. 100 out of 100, not 50 and I'm happy. So okay, today, nowadays I don't get angry. That's not a very, very high remark. But I have to become an angel. I have to become a deity. How far am I from that stage? So I have to seek for that 100% stage, not 50% and be happy as now I don't get angry. So never be content with just that. So many people see that they're past in this way. Before I used to get so angry, I used to drink, I used to have so many bad habits, and now I don't have any bad habits because I've become a Brahmin. Before I had all the vices and now I am becoming pure and I just be satisfied with that. No. On one hand, of course, the satisfaction internally is very important because I'm not jealous of anyone. I don't get upset. That's okay. But then compared to what my aim and objective is, how far am I behind that? I have to check that. And therefore, it is a continuous effort. On one hand, Baba says it is Jivan Mukti in 1 second. In 1 second you get Jivan Mukti. That means you attain that stage of Jivan Mukti, liberation in life. But then afterwards, Baba says, no children, it's a journey. It's a journey of remembrance. Yad ki yatra, Baba says, it's not just 1 second, but you're on a journey. You're on a pilgrimage of remembrance. So in a pilgrimage, so many obstacles come and our obstacles are Maya. For everything, Baba says Maya. So Maya is the biggest obstacle which comes in this journey, in this pilgrimage of remembrance. Like today Baba said, there are some children who just want to do service, whole day service. They don't attend class, they don't do meditation, and they don't think of dharana, of inculcating virtues, but just service, giving knowledge to others, but they don't pay attention to the murli. They don't come to the class, but they think they have all the knowledge. So they just want to do service. But they will not get strength, inner strength, just by giving knowledge. We have to fill ourselves too. Otherwise we can become empty. After a day's service, we are so tired, as if we are completely empty. But we should not become empty, we should become more and more full. So if it's just service without really paying attention to Murli, without paying attention to meditation, without paying attention to what virtues I have still to inculcate, I'm just trying to do service and I say I'm very happy, I did so much service. I explained to so many people, I gave Gyan to so many people, but Baba said all the four subjects are needed. Knowledge, yoga, dharana, service, all four. And while serving others, I get irritated, I get upset, I get angry. What type of service is that? I'm expecting praise and, all the love and all the, everyone taking good care of me. I went for service, I did lots of service. When I came back, nobody even served me water to drink. Nobody even asked me, I hope you're not tired. Nobody said anything, as if I did nothing. So they are waiting for praise, they are waiting for love, they are waiting for some respect. Well, how will those people attain their perfect stage? How will they become karmatit? So karmatit stage means going beyond all that. You do something and then forget about it. Forget about it. Because you have to go ahead. You have to go ahead. You can't just stop there. All these are sightseeings. You're seeing and not seeing. You can't stop for seeing sightseeings. And therefore Baba says, you have such a high aim and objective. But Maya is a big opposition. You have to be very careful. Before you came to Baba, you didn't know that Maya was an opposition. But how Maya took away all your strength. You lost all your virtues. But now you have to be very careful. Because the soul is like lamp, light. You know, when you light a lamp, you have to be very careful to make sure that the light does not extinguish. So two things are necessary for the light to be always lit. What are the two things necessary for the light to be always lit in the lamp? First thing is, we have to keep on pouring oil. Pouring oil is very important. If you don't pour oil in that lamp, the light will extinguish because there's no oil in it. So the oil is of knowledge. Baba's Murli is the strength for our day. Meditation is Amrit Vela. Meditation is the strength for our day. Inculcation of virtues. Each day I have to make sure what type of virtue I still need and that I have to imbibe. So that is the pouring of knowledge. The oil of knowledge in your lamp. And then the second thing we have to be careful of is to not allow air to come, breeze to come. Because if there's a lot of breeze, then my light will extinguish. So what is that breeze? That breeze is of Maya. Because Maya can come in any form. We can be taken away, like unawares. In the form of thoughts, in the form of words, actions, relationships, contacts, my lokiks, my alokiks, any Maya can come in any form. And sometimes I may be totally unaware of it. And when Maya comes, Baba says in the Murlis, sometimes it catches your nose, sometimes it catches your ears, sometimes it pushes you, sometimes it catches your plait, takes you backwards. Sometimes it slaps you. That's what Maya does. Baba says in the Murlis. Sometimes it pushes you and throws you down because this is boxing. So in boxing, you can also fall. So when Maya catches your nose, what does it mean? How do you know that Maya has caught your nose? Confusion. Confusion. You start sort of doubting Gyan. Baba says this, but I don't know if it's right. Who says it? Who is saying? The truth is saying it. How can he, whatever he says, not be right? How can I create any doubts. If I'm creating doubts, it means I'm, like Baba has been saying recently in the Murlis, the one who has done lots of bhakti, devotion, he will take lots of jnan and he will come first in golden age at the beginning. So if I'm doubting, means first of all Maya has got hold of my nose. And I'm like, when I catch hold of my nose, I suffocate because I'm not able to breathe. Sometimes Maya catches your ears. How does it catch your ears? When you start hearing gossips some about someone, you know, gossip. So Baba says, no parchintan, you know, you're hearing gossip of this one, that one, that one, that one. Oh, he's like that, he's like that, he did this, he did that. Baba says, Maya has got hold of your ears. So don't give a ear to all these gossips. There may not be even a penny of truth in that gossip. It may be completely wrong, but I think, oh, it's right. So never listen to any gossip, because that will be like creating a bad company. You are moving in bad company. So make sure you are moving in the right company. And sometimes with food also, we have to be very, very careful what we are eating, by who has cooked that food, in right thoughts, and you know, purity of food is very important. For that purity of thoughts is also very important. So you have to be very, very careful. So all these things, how Maya comes. First it catches your nose, then catches your ears, and then it catches your plait, you know, sisters have plaits. So how it pulls you behind. So pulling me behind means, it means you are going back to your past. Some will say, oh, I was much better before I came to Baba. Some say that too. Because before I was free, I could eat anything, I could go anywhere, I could wear anything, I could do anything. And now don't eat this, don't eat that, don't go there. Baba says, cinema is sin ki ma, the mother of sins. Before I used to enjoy my life, I could do whatever I want to. Now Baba has restricted me some disciplines, this discipline, that discipline, all the maryadas. So it's like a life of bondage. So some people think it's a life of bondage. But this bondage will ultimately lead you to freedom. While that what you thought was freedom, ultimately leads you to bondage. How? How that leads you to bondage? You think, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. I want to drink, I want to smoke, I want to gamble, I want to do this, I want to do that. Who can stop me? I met a young person and he was smoking and also drinking. So I said, oh, you're so young, 20 years old he was. I said, why are you doing this? You know, you're ruining your life. He said, no, I'm enjoying. This is life. Then I said, you know, this is not life. He said, no, I'm free. I can do anything. I'm earning. I'm not taking from anybody else. I'm not asking from anyone else. I'm earning. So let me enjoy. I said, okay, you are earning, no doubt. This is not freedom. Because as you keep on drinking and smoking, ultimately, you know what will happen? That drink will drink you. That cigarette will kill you, you know. We say a 3-inch cigarette. How that 6 feet tall person becomes a slave of 3-inch cigarette. 3-inch only, and that person is 6 feet tall. So 6 feet tall person, a slave of a 3-inch cigarette. And then you can't live without it. So are we really experiencing freedom or is it bondage? So ultimately it's bondage. But this, when Baba speaks about maryadas, disciplines, this is protecting the soul from the vibes of this world. The vibrations are so bad in this world. We have to protect ourselves. Only then can this lamp be lit continuously. And then only we can attain perfection. But this doesn't mean that we have to just stay alone, aloof and, lonely. No. We have to live in a gathering too. Baba says, you don't have to leave your home. You don't have to leave your family. You don't have to leave your responsibilities. You don't have to leave anything. You're not a sannyasi. You leave everything and go away. This is actually a cowardice. You have so many responsibilities and you just leave everything and go away. Isn't that cowardice? It is definitely cowardice. You ask for rights, but you don't want responsibilities. So rights and go with the responsibilities. They can't be separated. And that's why Baba says, you have to live like a lotus. As a lotus flower grows in a muddy pond, yet it remains so detached. The whole family of a lotus is in mud. It's in a dirty pond. The lotus leaves, the lotus stem, the lotus roots, all are so dirty. But the lotus flower is so clean that impurity or dirt does not affect the lotus. So that's what Baba aims us for, to live like a lotus. Do all your responsibilities, but do in such a detached manner that in a second you can just go beyond. Because that is what will be needed at the end. At the end, nothing should be remembered. Time to go home. Time to go back. Everything else will be left behind here. Nothing will come with me. Just my righteous actions will come with me. That's all. And that will create my future. So aim is very high. But then Baba makes it easy. How does he make it easy? He says, never, never forget me. I'm always with you. I'm always with you. If you forget me, then Baba also cannot help. How can Baba help? You are not remembering Baba. You are not following the principles, the disciplines. You are not obedient to Baba. So how can Baba help? So Baba helps those who help themselves. And how do I help myself? When I'm obedient. Baba says, you have to bless yourself. Don't just ask for blessings. Baba, please bless me. Baba, have mercy on me. You have mercy on yourself first. That is important. And how do you have mercy on yourself? By following all the disciplines. By remembering Baba, you are blessing yourself. By creating good karma, you are blessing yourself. So don't just ask for it, but claim it as a right. Because I'm the child of God, I have to become like the Father. So this is becoming an angel. So all are ready for that? Are all of you ready for becoming angels? Those who say, yes, we are ready and we will do something, we will definitely become angels. Raise your hand. Wow, very good. Now clap for yourselves. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Any questions? If anyone has question, you may ask. Anyone? No?
Anyone you know have any questions?
Do.
You know, Srila Didi is a very, very senior member of the Brahma Kumaris Academy for a Better World in Gyan Sarovar. She's the vice chairman of the Raj Yoga Education Wing. She came to Baba at the age of 12 in 1960, very tender age, and she met Brahma Baba, of course. So you can see she speaks very eloquently, very proficiently, and she traveled around the world in 5 continents. So we are very fortunate to have Didi with us. So please, if you have any questions, do ask her now. She's a reservoir of wisdom and insights. So anyone would like to ask? Yeah, come.
Shantiji, I just want to ask for those lucky people who ask, so what if you balance it? What if you balance it? Like, if you don't follow, if you don't drink and smoke every day, but they say, like, if you balance it, if you do it, you know, with care and only drink, you know, like, a glass of wine.
So, I really don't quite understand your question.
What language do you speak?
So you say, you know, we have to help ourselves by following Srimad. And I'm not asking because I don't want to follow Srimad, but I'm just asking to those who say that, you know, I'm not a slave of alcohol or eating meat or whatever, but I do it with balance and care. What would you say to that?
Okay. Let me try to rephrase the question. Just now you said that I'm not a slave to alcohol or to whatever, cigarettes, right? But you mean a balance of this? But yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, she said, "What if I'm not
writing?
I'm not the slave of that." But then you mean you still indulge in that in small quantity, in balance? Locket people. Yeah, can you please? Because we don't quite understand what.
Om Shanti, what do you say to somebody when they say we can keep a balance? Is it, you know, you can do this too? Effectively, what they're saying is they're encouraging you to do a little bit. They're saying this is okay. What do you say to such a person?
I can try to answer. A poison is a poison, even if it's one drop. There's not the balance of whether little alcohol. She said that alcohol and tobacco is, yeah, it's not good. But what if it's a balance? For me,
balance?
Balance of that to the Lockheed people.
So? But it is not good.
It is not good, even a drop, right?
What do you mean balance?
That's why I don't understand the question.
Anyway.
Can you come? We can't hear you. Come to the mic. Because if it is poison, like Baba said, even one drop is poison. You can't have a little poison and then no poison.
Om Shanti, yes, one drop is poison, but what people say, what Lockheed people say sometimes is, I only do it in moderation.
But even moderation is not right. So some may say moderation, but then where it that moderation leads to, no one knows, no? It can go on and on and on. Is kya balance? No. What Baba says, you must eat pure food. Now, pure food means what?
Yeah.
Non-veg food is pure food or what? Pure food means, and then Baba says that those who are pure, who are leading a pure life in Baba's remembrance, then offered to Baba. Baba says all these things. So you have to think of that also. You know, so in that way, of course, you have to keep balance. Okay, you don't get anything, then of course you have to have, but then no, it doesn't mean that you have to eat non-veg food. Doesn't mean that. I know Baba gives example of those who are in the military. Now they can't cook, but they have to eat in the mess, okay, but then they can meet the cook and tell him not to put onions and garlic in it. And he does that, and then you can eat that food in Baba's remembrance. So in that, of course, Baba says you keep a balance. But not that you have to drink alcohol and then say, oh, keep a balance. That's not balance. Why should you touch alcohol? There's no need. It's a poison. It's not good for your health. And where will it lead? Today you drink little, tomorrow this much, day after tomorrow this much, and then Om Shanti.
Okay. I think we have time for one question, especially for those who need to go back to Madhuban. Yeah, please, sister. Because the bus will leave, you know, in case. Come.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about the subtiles levels? Subtiles?
About?
Subtiles levels.
Subtle ego.
Subtle level. S-U-T-T-L-E, subtle level.
Subtle regions. Subtle regions. Subtle regions level.
Levels of?
Anybody can understand my question? I don't understand. I don't think Shilo Didi also. Subtle? What is the last word that she won?
I think she's asking, can you explain more about the subtle levels?
Subtle
That's
region.
Right, sister? Yeah?
But
levels
subtle
levels of what?
Region.
Levels of?
Levels
of? Of the mind. So the subtle levels of the mind, she's saying.
Subtle levels of the mind.
Yeah.
That's not the topic. Subtle levels of the mind.
Oh, okay. She's saying that I think the levels you started with, it's like going from one level to the other, going from soul conscious to videhi, from
so
videhi
soul
to
consciousness.
So she's asking about, can you explain the subtleties of that, of going from one to the other? Yeah?
So what to do there for?
Oh, what's happening in each level?
Yes, the efforts are needed for that, no?
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
No, then you have to go to the basic again.
There's another class. Because it's a big topic. Subtle stages of the mind, right? Conscious, subconscious and all that. Yeah.
Ah, that's different topic
that's
altogether.
Different stages, different levels.
Yeah,
of
conscious mind, subconscious mind. Yeah, that's different.
We will invite her for another class for that. Is it alright?
No, this class going, becoming an angel. So on the basis
so
of
class,
that, that's
yeah.
what the topic was for today. What? Anyway, okay, let's finish now, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very
so
much.
Just
let's
be
keep
prepared to become
way.
An angel.
Thank
That's
you.
What's important. Bodiless stage and become an angel, seeing and not seeing, go beyond. Om Shanti. Applying a full stop, three dots.